This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Amen. I want you to take your Bible, go to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number 1, looking again this morning what we looked at last week. I've got a little bit of a different angle. I want to talk to you for just a minute on promises for the obedient. Promises for the obedient. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 1. Well, let's begin in verse 2. If you don't have a Bible, you can look at it up on the screen. The Bible says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." That's an interesting phrase to begin a book, but it's absolutely the most necessary phrase if you're going to get to the rest of the book. God said to Joshua, "Joshua, you've got to let go of your past. You've got to let go of the thing that you love, but it's gone now. If you don't let go of it, you'll never, ever cross over. You're never going to move forward. You're never going to accomplish what God's wanting you to accomplish." He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." After you meditate, Joshua, then, not until, but then, when you are obedient, then you'll make your way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Joshua, it's time to go over, son. You've done all I want you to do in this land. You've accomplished all I want you to accomplish in this land. You've got to let your past go. You've got to bury Moses, that thing that is holding you back. You got to let it go. He said, because there is a land that I want to take you to. He said, it is a land of peace. It's a land of power. It is a land of provision. It is a land of perfect fellowship with God. Brothers and sisters, the land of Canaan, although it sings good, it is not right theology. It is not a picture of heaven. Because in heaven there'll be no more battles and there'll be no more trials. But in Canaan land there are battles and there are trials. But in Canaan land, child of God, there is great victory. God said that Canaan land is a picture of the life that I want every believer to live. That life where you are doing exactly what you were born to do for the God of heaven. That land where the balm flows for every wound. That land where milk and honey flows for every hunger. Where there is water for every thirst. Where there is a rock for my refuge. Where there is a shelter for my head. He said, there is a land, honey. There is a land that I want you to go to, but you've got to go. Man, he begins to stir Joshua. He begins to move in Joshua's heart. He begins to stir him. Why? Why did God stir Joshua? Here's why. Because Joshua was just like any old other Baptist that I know. Sometimes he gets lazy. Sometimes he gets tired. Sometimes he don't want to do anything. Sometimes he likes to sit there and be entertained. God said, Joshua, it's time for you to get up. It's time for you to go. It's time for you to guard your heart and gird your loins, because I've got a mission and I've got a trial and I've got something that I need you to accomplish. And he begins to stir in Joshua's heart. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, as sure as I'm standing on the shoes that I'm standing on, that there is a stirring among the remnant of God. There's not a stirring among the church of God, because there's a lot of churches today that need to be stirred. They need to be shaken. They need to be turned upside down, but they're deader than a hammer. And God is stirring. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 11 through verse number 14, that as an eagle stirreth up her nest, so the Lord shall stir up your heart. Why does an eagle stir up its nest? One reason, that leads to the second reason. The one reason is because it's time for those baby hatchlings to fly. It's time for those baby hatchlings to get out there and soar on their own. It's time for those baby hatchlings to do what they were born to do. It's time for those baby hatchlings to rise to new heights and see better views, honey. It's time for those hatchlings. But the only way those little hatchlings are going to want to get away from the down feathers of mama and want to get away from the food that comes every morning, evening, and night and find their own food is for that eagle to take its beak and stir up underneath that eaglet, hatchling, bird, baby bird, chicklet, whatever you want to call it, that thing that's not really out of the nest yet. He said, I'm going to stir that thing. That eagle gets stirred up, and if that eagle won't jump out of the nest, do you know what that mama will do? She'll take the little curve of that beak, get up under that little hatchling's hind parts, and throw it out of the nest. You know why? Because sometimes the only way that baby will learn to fly is when it gets flung out of the nest. And some of you right now, there's a stirring going on inside of your heart. There's a stirring that you say, you know what? I've got to rise to higher depths. I've got to fly to higher mountains. I want to see better views. I want to get closer to God. I want to walk in power. I want to walk in unction. I want to walk in victory. And I want to walk in liberty. But you're never going to do that sitting on your blessed assurance, letting some preacher come in and feed you three times a week. You've got to learn to read it for yourself. You've got to learn to walk for yourself. You've got to learn to pray for yourself. You've got to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that when we get together on Sundays and in the prayer meeting on Wednesdays, it's not me feeding you like a mama feeding its baby. It's us getting together feasting at the family reunion, and you tell me what you've done, and I tell you what I've done, and we talk about how good God has done and what things He's done, honey. Hey, God is a stirring. He's stirring up my heart. I know there's some of you, you've come from other places, and you've come from other churches, and they've dead, they're dying. I do not blame people for leaving dead church. You know why? Because I wouldn't stay in a dead church. I wouldn't keep my family in a dead church. And if the dead church don't want to get alive, you know what you need to do? You need to take your live carcass out of it and get you in one where the Holy Ghost of God is and the power of God is and the Word of God is supreme. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I'm telling you. You say, you shouldn't say that. Well, if this church dies, you get your stuff and walk out the back door, because nobody that is alive with resurrection and alive with the life of God ought to sit around a bunch of dead mess when a preacher's so lazy he won't get down on his knees, and a people are so lazy that they won't pray all week, and a people are so carnal and full of sin. God, I feel like preaching right now. And they love the world so much, and they love the flesh so much, that they come in and they're tainted and they reek of the world. I'm telling you, there's a people in this room. They are not perfect. They do not do everything they ought to do, but there's a stirring inside of their heart. They say, I've got to rise. I've got to go. I want to do. And God is stirring up. And there's some of you today, you're not going to stir as mama stirs that nest. You know what's going to have to happen? God's going to have to pull the rug out from under you. He's going to have to throw you out of the nest, and you're going to have to learn that you can fly. And like R. Kelly said, I believe I can fly. I believe I'll touch the sky. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I'm telling you, sometimes the only way you'll make it is to realize you have no other choice but to make it. Now listen to me. Josh was like most other people that I know. He's afraid. Full of fear. Full of turmoil. God knows that. And God knows, child of God, that you are afraid just like me. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what's next. Here's the biggest one. Fear of, can I really trust God? So God said, son, I'm going to give you three promises. If you'll be obedient and do what I tell you to do, these three promises are yours. If you'll do and operate in what I tell you to do and operate in, he said, you can do what I've told you to do. Number one, let me give them to you. Number one, he said, I'm going to give you the promise of victory. I'm going to give you the promise of victory. You say, preacher, what kind of victory is God going to give Joshua? He says, Joshua, you need to understand, as I'm stirring you to cross the river, you've got to know there is a big enemy on the other side. You've got to know there is a high tower on the other side. You've got to know there are insurmountable walls on the other side. You've got to know that Jericho is the first thing you're going to come to, and you cannot beat it on your own. But Joshua, if you will be obedient to me, I will give you victory. Look back in verse number 2 and verse number 3. Watch what he says. He says, now, therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land, watch this phrase, which I do, say that with me, I do give unto thee. Look in verse number 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, watch this phrase in verse 3, that have I given unto thee. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what God tells Joshua. He says, Joshua, the victory that you're going to come across, son, it's a continuous victory. He said, you're not going to get the whole land at one time. You're not going to get the whole mountain at one time. He said, it's going to be a swing by swing. It's going to be battle by battle. It's going to be war by war. It's going to be mile by mile. It's going to be step by step. Sometimes it's going to be inch by inch. But Joshua, I promise you, day by day, moment by moment, step by step, inch by inch, mile by mile, foot by foot, you will get victory. This is where the devil has gotten so many of you. You are saying, preacher, I'm not getting victory like I thought I ought to get victory. I'm trying to obey God and I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not getting the victory that I want. The devil has convinced you that the moment you throw in with God, it comes just like that. What you've got to understand, there is a process at work in your life. It is called the sanctification of the child of God. That's where God slowly, but God surely takes out of you everything that used to be, and he begins to put in you everything that he desires to be. He is taking out of you. And every day that you walk just a step at a time. Every day you go, it's a step at a time. But here's what you've got to understand. You've got to understand that every single thing you're doing is leading you as a child of God that's walking by the Spirit where God wants you to. You say, preacher, I do not understand what you're talking about. You're not making any sense. Well, it's either the NyQuil talking or it's me not making any sense. So let me just put it down here in shoe leather where you can understand it. How many of you are the age you are now and you look in the mirror and say, boy, I still look like I'm 25. I do that every now and again. Well, for some of you that are 95, you say, I still look 65. Maybe not 25. You know, I look in the mirror sometimes, and I'll look and I'll say, boy, you a hunk. Man, I look and I'm like, boy, the skin's smooth. Wrinkles not existent. Boy, you looking fine as frog hair, Jack. And all of a sudden, my wife will come in. She's heard me in the background. And you know what she does? She brings a picture of our wedding from 10 years ago. What happened to the man I married? And I'm not going to tell you what I want to do. You men know what I want to do. I want to say there's two people in that picture, pumpkin pie. I wouldn't do that though. I love Jesus. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, I remember. Man, I look, and we got the wedding pictures on the wall in the living room. And every now and again, my Mason, my Ella, they'll say, Daddy, is that you and Mama getting married? And I look, and I say, I walk up to that picture, and I say, and I take the little mirror. I say, boy, look at that white. Look at them wrinkles. Great God, look at that belly. And you know what I say? I say, boy, I sure not what I used to be. But the only way I can feel and see the progress is by comparing where I was when I started. Some of you are so discouraged because the devil tells you you're not anything, but what you need to remind him, devil, this is not the end. Let me show you back here where I started, and I didn't know anything about God, and I didn't know anything about prayer, and I didn't know anything about the walk of the Spirit. I didn't know anything about the Word of God. I didn't know anything about how to fight in faith. And every day you've gone just a little bit farther, and you fought just a little bit more, and you've gotten another victory, and you've gotten another battle. And here you sit on a Sunday morning with love in your heart and joy in your spirit, and you say, devil, I may not be what I used to, what I am going to be, but I sure am not what I used to be. And God's worked in a great work in you, and he which hath begun a good work shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It's a continual victory. But you got to see something, because I saw it at 9:30. It's a completed victory. Kim, find verse number 5. I want you to put verse 5 back up there. Excuse me, verse 3. Verse 3, I'm wrong. Verse 3. Watch this phrase. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto thee. And the Hebrew, there are moods and tenses of a word. That tense of that word, it's in the perfect tense. The perfect tense means this. It's already completed when it's spoken. He said, Joshua, I've given you the land. It's already yours. Does anybody else see a problem with that? Where's Joshua when God tells him that? He's on this side of the river. Jordan's there, promised land there. God said, Joshua, I've already given it. And if Joshua's like me and you, you know what we say? God, I know you're perfect and everything, but I think you may have messed up on this one. I don't have it. It's not mine. God says, Joshua, I've already given it to you. It's already done. It's already accomplished. It's already fulfilled. It's already come to pass. Even though it's not come to pass, it has come to pass. Even though it's not been accomplished, it's already been accomplished. Even though it's not been completed, it's already completed. You remember what the Lord Jesus said on the cross? He said seven phrases from that cross. The very last phrase, he made this statement. He said, Tetelestai, it is a finish. Do you know what something is finished? It means it had to get started. He said, it is finished. And you and I, we say, yes, salvation, full and free, blood flowing from Emmanuel's veins. God finished it. But there's a little verse in the book of Revelation, chapter number 13, verse number 8. God's talking about Jesus, and he talks about Jesus, and this is what he says. He said that he is a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, what does it mean? Long before the mud seals of this earth were ever laid down, long before the foundation rocks were ever put in place, long before the sun ever shined, long before the angels ever sang, long before anything ever was in existence, God knew there'd be sin, God knew there'd be defilement, God knew you'd need a Savior, and long before it was ever accomplished, it was already accomplished. Long before it was ever done, it was already done. Long before it was ever fulfilled, it was already fulfilled. Why? Because when you're God, and you're that big, and you're that wonderful, you don't have to have rules. You don't have to have a program. You can do whatever you want to do. And God said, long before you were ever born, long before I was ever born, and long before the world was ever put in place, I already had you in my hand. I already had you in my palm. Ladies and gentlemen, if I was in it before I got here, I'll be in it while I'm here. And when I leave, honey, I'll be in it when I check out of here. It's already done. Here's the point. Whatever God's told you to do, you don't have to be afraid, because before you've done it, it's already done. Before you've accomplished it, every addiction we have that Jesus says you can break those chains, we're saying, can I break them? Can I break them? Jesus said they're already broken. You just go take the victory. Every addiction, every problem, every issue, every mindset, every battle, every struggle, everything that we are given a promise, get over, get past, get victory. And we say, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. God said, I know you can't do it. That's why I stepped in and I did it for you. That's why I did the battle. I fought the battle. I fought the war. The victory is ours because the battle is the Lord's. Number two, he said, I give you the promise not only of victory, but of vigor. 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 What does that mean? Well, it means strength. Why'd I use a V word? Well, in Bible college, they told me it had to make sense to alliterate, so I just used that word. But really, if I was just me being a redneck, I'd just say, he gives you the promise of strength, power, unction, ability. He says in this verse, verse number five, look at what he says. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Look at that verse. There shall not, how many men? I got two people with me. I got the verse on the screen. I can't help you much more than just say it for you. There shall not, say it with me, any. You know what any means? It's exactly what it means. It means any. Any means any. Any means all. Any means every bit of it. Any means everything. Any. There shall not any man. He said, if you walk in my will, if you do what I tell you to do, if you obey my word, if you obey my Holy Spirit, you don't do it your way, you don't do it how you think it ought to be done, but you do it according to how my Holy Spirit tells you in my word how to do it. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand against you. You know what that means? That means anything. Anything that we do in the will of God. Now look, he is not talking about going out here on America's Got Talent and saying, Jesus, you told me I could win this competition. That is not what that is talking about. That is not all things through Christ. I'm just telling you, what he's talking about is those things that make you holier, those things that draw you closer to him, those things that save you, those things that keep you. He said, you can do anything, any chain, any addiction, any problem, any marital issue, any child issue, anything whatsoever, anything. There shall not any man. How many of you are like me? And we say, yeah, God, I know you said anything, but God, I know you said it could be done. But don't you know? You know, when I try to obey God, Bob, me and you are alike in so many ways. We're alike in one way big time. When I ask God to do something, you know what I want to hear? I want to hear yes or no. But you know, God doesn't answer our questions directly. He never has, and he never will. God, you want me to go there? I want to hear yep or nope. Anybody else like that? I just want to hear yep or nope. So I ask God, this is what I do, Bob. God, do you want me to do that? And all of a sudden I hear a still small voice say, there shall not any man be able to stand before you. Now, God, what does that mean? It means there shall not be any man able to stand before you. God, I know, but what is that? It means there shall not any man be able to stand before you. Yeah, but God, is it okay if I try to do this and try to become a better spouse, a better wife, a better husband, a better father, a better mother, a better giver, a better liver, or whatever it is? God, can I yes or no? There shall not any man be able to stand against you. Any means any. Any means all. Any means everything. There shall not any man be able to stand against you. Now, can I show you something? I know y'all love it when I pull my Hebrew out and my Greek. I know it impresses all of the dignified city slickers in North Carolina. You know the reason most of you aren't laughing? Because you got mud on your tires and dip in your car. That's why you're not laughing. You're redneck just like I'm a redneck. All the Yankees, mud, dip? What is that? Tom's in the back trying to figure out what I'm talking about. Yankees come in, they have to have an interpreter to get through the message. But anyways, I want you to look at this verse. There shall not any man be able to stand, see this next phrase, before thee. Do you see that phrase? That's one Hebrew word. It's the Hebrew word payim. P-A-N-I-Y-M. Payim. It's translated face. There shall not any man be able to stand before your face all the days of thy life. But the word payim, it's plural. It's plural. It's not face, it's faces. There shall not any man be able to stand before your faces all the days of your life. Now, I said something the first service and I was wrong. The Holy Ghost checked me in my office in between services. First service, I said that I believe that was a picture of the Trinity. I don't believe it is. Face says, plural. Last time I looked in the mirror, I only got one of them. How about you? One face? You all look so confused sometimes when I say certain things. It's not a trick question. I'm not trying to fool you. It's a face. You got one of them. You know, when I look at that, it doesn't make sense. Either God's wrong or I don't understand it. See, I thought it was the Trinity. Faces. The face of God the Father, the face of God the Son, the face of God the Holy Spirit. Shall any man be able to stand beside you, before you, beside you? But it can't be for two reasons. Number one, the Spirit of God doesn't have a face and the Father doesn't have a face. They are spirit. And then there's another problem with that. I said that the Father stands before you, the Son stands to the left of you, and the Spirit stands. That's a problem. Why? Because I've got another side. They call it bringing up the rear in the army. And if an enemy wants to attack, they will bring it up on the rear and attack from the rear side. Remember, everything connects in the Bible. That's how you know it's the Word of the living God. Watch this. There's a verse in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse number 10. I want you to look at this. Kim's going to throw it up there for us. It's talking about a vision that Ezekiel gets. This is what it says. It says, and for the likeness of their face, what? Faces, plural, right? What was the word in Joshua? Faces, plural. This should be translated there. They had four of them. What were the four faces? There's the face of a man. There's the face of a lion. The face of an ox. The face of an eagle. Preacher Kanoi taught in one of his messages that I was listening to. He said this. He said, those faces are a type of Jesus Christ. And you get those pictures from the gospel. In Mark, in Matthew, he's portrayed as a king. Mark, he's portrayed as a servant. Luke, he's portrayed as a man. And in John, he's portrayed as God. You know what a symbol of a king is? A lion. Do you know what the symbol of a servant is? An ox. In Luke, he's pictured as a man. And in John, he's pictured as an eagle, which is a symbol of God. Watch this. I have the promise that I have the strength to make it and that no man will stand. How do I know? Because every direction the enemy comes, God, I feel something right here. The Lord Jesus Christ goes before me. He goes beside me and he comes behind me. If the devil attacks from the front, God said, no man shall stand before my face. If he attacks from the side, God stands up and Jesus said, no man can stand before your face. If he attacks from the hinder parts, he looks at me and he says, no man can stand before your face. Preacher, where do you get that verse in the New Testament? Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18 down through verse number 20. Jesus said, go ye and preach the gospel to all nations. He gets down to the end and he says this. He says, lo, I am with you all. Always. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the reason that you can do whatever God's told you to do, whether it's obeying Him in salvation, obeying Him in obedience, obeying Him in whatever that is. You say, preacher, I can't do it. I say, child of God, you can do it. He's before you. He's beside you. He's behind you. He's everywhere you need to be. I tell you, big boy, they tell me that Christianity is for people that are weak. I say that's exactly what it's for. Your problem is you don't realize how weak you are, honey. I say that there is a God in heaven and Jesus is his name, and he goes before me and he goes beside me and he goes behind me. He's above me. He's beneath me. He undergirds me with power. That's why we have the promise of strength everywhere I go. Lord God Almighty, I just thought about something. Here's what I thought about. If he's before me, you know what that means? That means before I get there, he's already got there. If I go to the right hand, honey, before I get there, he's already there. If I go to the left hand, before I get there, he's already there. If I turn around and go back, Lord God Almighty, if I go to turn around and go back, he says, whoa, son, you can't go back that way. He keeps me from going back. He's before me as I go forward. He's beside me, left hand, right hand. I can't go anywhere. He's not already at. God, I need an inhaler. That's the promise, third of all. Of vicinity. Vicinity. He said this. He said, Joshua, he said, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of thy life. Watch this phrase. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Now give me 5 minutes to explain this to you. He makes this statement. He says, as I was, so I am. What I used to be, so I am. How I used to act, so I still act. Why would that bless Joshua? Here's why. Because Joshua had never been the instrument to see the miracles of God. That was Moses. Moses was the one that saw the 10 plagues. Moses was the one that brought the manna. Moses was the one that struck the rock. It was Moses that brought the quail. Joshua just saw it, but he was never a part of it. And this is what God is saying. God is saying, you don't have to have Moses, because as I was, so I am. What I did for him, great God, I'll do it for you. How I operated for him, so I'll operate for you. Here's what I say, child of God. There are preachers in our day. They're all over television. They're all over the internet. And they want to do everything in their power to convince you that the way God used to act, he doesn't act that way anymore. And the way that God used to operate, he doesn't operate that anymore. I tell you this, any preacher that doesn't have faith in the God of that Bible ought to get out, get them an honest job, and stop lying to people. Because here's what I'm telling you, the same God that walked with our fathers and the same God that walked with our mothers is the same God that still is. He's the same. You say he's not doing it today. That means one of two things. That means we don't have enough faith, or they were wrong back then. One way or another, what he used to be, he still is. And the power he used to have, he still has. I'm telling you, child of God, I got 440 worth of faith in my soul to tell you, I don't care what any preacher said. I don't care what any man said. There is a God in heaven, and he's alive, and he's well, and he's got all power, and he's got all strength, and he's got all victory. And there is nothing too hard for God. As I was, so I still am. And Miss Kim, was that in verse 5? Somebody tell me, is that verse 5? I think it's verse 5. Put that verse back up there. I'm going to show you something. He said, as I was with Moses, and I'm done here. This is my 3 minutes. He said, so, watch these next three words. I will be. Underline that in your Bible. And out to the right-hand side, write the Hebrew word Rapha. Listen, here it is. R-A-P-H-A-H. R-A-P-H-A-H. It's one word, I will be. You ready for it? Do you know what that word means? It's the Hebrew word which means grip. Grip. Joshua, you can't fail. Because I'm holding on to you. Joshua, as I had Moses in my hand, so I have you in my hand. Now remember this, if it's still applicable today, it's repeated in the New Testament. Is there a verse in the New Testament that said we're still in his grip? John 10, verse 28 and 29. Jesus said, Father, you have given me these and you have placed them in the palm of my hand. I say to you, child of God, there are some of you, you have walked away from the Lord. You have walked out on the Lord. You have fallen away from the Lord. There was a day when you were saved, there was a day when you gave it to God, there was a day when you threw in with Christ, and then you went back out into the world, and you lived in sin, and the devil's convinced you you've messed up too much, the devil's convinced you you've gone out too hard, the devil's convinced you that you failed too much, the devil's convinced you that God doesn't love you anymore. This is what you've got to understand. You're still in the palm of his hand. You're still there in the hand of Jesus Christ. You are still where you were. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible said it. But a preacher, I don't care what a preacher said, if it's not found within 66 books, it is not truth. It is not right. You can't mess up so much when you've been saved by the grace of God. If you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no sin. You say, but preacher, I've messed up. Whoa. If you say you've messed up, you're telling me that there's something you've done that is stronger than the grip of God. You say, but preacher, I've walked too far. Then you're telling me that there is somewhere that the hand of God will not go. This is what I'm saying. The reason I know I'm still saved is not because I hold on to him all the time. It's because he holds on to me all the time. It's not because I do right all the time. It's because he does right all the time. And he which calleth me and he which keepeth me, he is faithful and he will do. Why? Because he is God and he does whatever he wants to. Now watch this. This came to me while I was talking. It's either the NyQuil or Jesus, and I'm pretty sure it's Jesus. Preacher, you think God forgot me? You think God forgot me? Preacher, I've been gone so long. I've messed up so much. Preacher, you think God forgot me? I don't feel like I'm in his hand anymore, preacher. You may not feel like you're in his hand, but there is something he still feels in his hand. The scars of Calvary. And every if by chance, Isaiah said we are graven upon the palms of his hand. If by chance, let's just say God ever decided he was done with you and wanted to throw you aside. You know what Jesus says? Father, you can't do that. Why can't I do that, son? You made a promise that if they were in me, they could never get out of me. I don't feel saved. You don't have to feel saved because he still feels the scars. I don't feel like I'm right. You don't have to feel right because his righteousness has already paid the price. I don't feel like it, preacher. I don't feel like it, deacons. I don't feel like it, church. Here's what I'm telling you. You do what God's told you to do. You walk where God's told you to walk, and you cannot escape. God said, I will give it to you. It is yours. It's already done. And the palm and the blood and the stripes of Jesus Christ assure you and me of total, absolute, complete victory. These are the promises that God makes to the obedient. Follow God.